Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. The text for our meditation on God's holy word today is our lesson from Revelation chapter 7, but today we'll start a little more simply, Matthew chapter 5, verse 2, our gospel lesson for the day. It says simply, "And Jesus opened his mouth and taught them." Dear brothers and sisters in the faith, why would a person need to be taught? Why would a person need to be taught? Sounds like a dumb question, but actually there is something to it. Maybe there's something you have never heard about before. Maybe there's something you've never experienced, but it's important that you know it. It's something you do need to know. Maybe it's a medical discovery. Maybe it's something your doctor found out. There's a treatment that can treat an illness that you're suffering with. Or maybe you need to be taught because you've heard about something, but you don't know enough about it. Or maybe you need to be taught because you've heard about something, but the information you have might be incorrect or out of date or not really the best understanding of things. Why would a person need to be taught? Book of Acts chapter 18 talks about it. It says, Apollos, early Christian leader, began to speak boldly in the synagogue about the Lord Jesus. But when Priscilla and Aquila, fellow believers, heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. He needed to be taught. Psalm 86, the psalmist prays a prayer. He says, "Teach me your way, O Lord," because there's a lot of other ways. "Teach me your way that I may walk in your truth. Give me an undivided heart that I may fear your name. Don't let my heart be going off after this or the other thing or the other thing, but let it follow only after you." And so, Matthew chapter 5, verse 2. Jesus opened his mouth and he taught them. And what was the title of the sermon? Matthew chapter 5. We've given it a title. We've called it the Sermon on the Mount. We've given it a title. We've called it the Beatitudes. But I'm going to suggest to you that if the sermon had a title, it would be Count Your Blessings. Count your blessings. Like the old kids' song. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done. Well, do it then. Count your blessings. Pause for a moment, think. Count your blessings. What are the blessings that you have? Well, we say that's easy. I have a house, maybe. Maybe a car, a job. Retirement plan, possibly, good health, I've got family, I've got friends, I got a roof over my house, my head, I got three squares a day. Count your blessings. Name them one by one. Count your many blessings. See what God has done. And yet, if you count the blessings, those blessings, you're going to run up against an uncomfortable fact, and that is that none of those things that I just listed are listed in today's gospel lesson. They're not there. Instead, what you have is an alternative set of blessings, a different set of blessings. And what are they? Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Count your blessings. Name them one by one. Count your many blessings. See what God has done. See what God has done. That's a funny thing with the good Lord. Sooner or later, when you have dealings with Almighty God, sooner or later you're going to find yourself ending up at Isaiah chapter 55, where the Lord says, "My thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways, declares the Lord. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." The Lord with those words says to us, you know, I can see where you're sitting. I can see where you are. And from where you are, I know there's things you need. You need a house, a car, roof over your head. You need family, friends. You need all those sorts of things. But from where I'm sitting, from where I'm looking at things, I know you need not just to have stuff there, but I know you need to get here together with me in everlasting life. And that's why God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's why my Son, the Lord says, took the bullet for your sin. That's why he put his righteous life on your report card. Because what does it profit a person to gain the whole world and lose their soul? And because God desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. So, the good Lord says to us, I'm going to do what I have to do to get you up here, to get you to everlasting life. And to get you to everlasting life, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless you. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. Blessed are the merciful. It keeps going, doesn't it? And as it keeps going, we say inside of ourselves, I know where the Lord is taking this. And I wonder if he would just let me do something, just for once. If he would let me take my Bible over here and my eraser over here and put the two of them together. Maybe we could just erase a couple of things that Jesus says. Maybe we could modify a couple of things that the Lord says. Maybe we could alter a couple of things that the good Lord says. Maybe that would work and make it go down just a little more smoothly. Of course, you have to be careful. If you start erasing some things, then you're going to have to start erasing other things. And if you erase one half of what God says, you're going to have to kind of erase the other half, because they're kind of joined at the hip. They work together with each other. They're part and parcel with each other. They're both sides of the same coin. And so what happens? Well, I read the Beatitudes and it says what? Blessed are the poor in spirit. And I don't know, Lord, if I particularly care for that. So could I just erase this one here? The problem is if you erase the poor in spirit, you also got to erase the other half of the sentence, which is what? Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The next one, let's erase the mourning part. But then, of course, you got to erase being comforted. Well, let's erase the meek. But then you have to erase, you'll inherit the earth. Let's erase hungering and thirsting after righteousness. A lot of things I hunger and thirst after, but you end up erasing, they will be satisfied. Erase the merciful, but then you erase being shown mercy. Erase the pure in heart, but then you erase, you'll see God. Erase the peacemakers, but then you erase being called the sons of God. Erase being persecuted or reviled or spoken ill of, and then you erase, great is your reward in heaven. How does the old song go? Let me tell you, brother, you can't have what? One without the other. Was that Frank Sinatra? Let me tell you, brother, you can't have one without the other. Now, we want to understand here that these things don't merit eternal life for you. Jesus merited eternal life for you. And you got to understand that we don't all go through all of the things that you see listed in the Beatitudes there. Some of us go through it in greater measure, some in lesser measure. The Lord is wise. He knows what's best for each of us. It's just that what you see in those first verses of the Gospel of Matthew is the ways and the means by which the Lord, in his wisdom, leads his saved children to life eternal and keeps them on the path to life. It's the way the good Lord works. Count your blessings. Name them one by one. Count your many blessings. See what God has done. Revelation chapter 7. Why? Because the Lamb, and you know who that is, in the midst of the throne will shepherd his people and lead them to living springs of water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Now that's a strange sentence. The Lamb will be the shepherd. But the Lamb is the one who went on ahead of you and who suffered and died ahead of you for your salvation. Not only that, the Lamb is the one who went down the path and he knows the place where the places are where you need to pasture, where you need to drink. He knows where those things come to you. He knows where the blessings are. Maybe put it another way. Some of you here today will remember Kurt Curtis. You remember Kurt? Many of us, few nods of the head there. Many of us do. What do you remember about Kurt? I heard it. Who said it? Bees. Bees and honey. Bees and honey. And I can remember talking to Kurt, and he told me that bees are opportunists. That's the way he put it. He said they will make honey out of most any kind of flower. They just do whatever kind of flower they come across. He said, they will even make honey out of oak flowers from oak trees. And then his comment was, it doesn't taste too good. Doesn't taste too good, but maybe the bees don't know the difference. So I asked him, just out of curiosity, what he thought made the best honey. If it wasn't oak flowers, what made the best honey? And of course, you go to the grocery store and they got honey there, and it says what? Clover honey. Or you'll have blackberry honey. Or you go to a fancy store and they'll have orange blossom honey or something like that. And I asked Kurt, I said, what makes the best honey? And he said, star thistle. Star thistle. Now, if you own any property around here, you know what star thistle is. Star thistle is an ugly, stringy, invasive, probably non-native species. It's in our area here. Bike riders hate star thistle because it's got these pokers on it that are more than just thistles. They're like little nails, and they'll pop your tires. And it doesn't even have a very pretty flower, just a little tuft of yellow. That's all there is to it. Not even to make up for all of the thorns on them. Some thistles are pretty. Star thistle definitely is not. And yet when I asked Kurt what made the best honey, he said, without a hesitation, star thistle. What makes the best honey? You know, a lot of star thistles come your way as a Christian person. Things that happen in your life. The Bible calls it carrying the cross. And Jesus said, take up your cross and follow me. And sometimes the star thistles are too many to count. But here's an assignment. Count them anyway. Count them anyway. Count your blessings, because such things make the best honey. Even if they're star thistles, even if they're giving your life a flat tire, count your blessings. Name them one by one. Count your many blessings. See what God has done, because you know that your loving and gracious Lord, no matter what happens, is leading you in a better way. He's leading you in the best way. He's leading you to a better place, to life eternal together with him. Count your blessings. Name them one by one. Count your many blessings. See what God has done. Because the Lamb in the midst of the throne is shepherding you. The Lamb is leading you to springs of living water. And God eventually will wipe away every tear from your eyes. And may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, may it keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.